This episode of Market Talk is brought to you by Growmark FS. Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic grain and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
Bringing you the ag information you need. This is Market Talk, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Well, things went from quiet in the grain market trade to risk off in a hurry as we got to Thursday's closing bell. Welcome into Market Talk. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Thank you so much for joining us and making us part of your day here today. Always appreciated. And again, as I mentioned, had a fairly quiet day going on Thursday, kind of deja vu to the Tuesday and Wednesday action with the bean market under pressure, with wheat trying to rally a little bit into the green and corn caught in the middle. But that changed quickly in the last half hour of trade as we moved lower with double-digit losses seen in all three corn, beans, and wheat complexes here as we moved to the close. What was the reasoning? Well, one big thought could be news coming out of Turkey on Thursday afternoon, according to an Associated Press report, that Turkey says a deal on the UN plan for exporting Ukrainian grain amid the war between Russia and Ukraine, that deal that's been talked about and rumored will be signed on Friday in Istanbul. And one would have to think that was the big reason, the big driver that led to the risk-off selling late in Thursday's session. My guess is the computers, the algo traders, caught on to that headline and traded that news and caused their markets to go to the downside, with the soy complex leading the way, led by bean oil and soybeans. But again, wheat, corn feeling the pressure as well, falling victim to that news. And you throw that on top of sluggish old crop corn bean sales last week, and then a cooler and wetter forecast for early next week that were already pressuring the markets. That's something that all just kind of combined together for the risk-off tone to round out Thursday's action. Now, longer-term, weather analysts see stressful weather returning to the belt, but of course, we're trading the here and now, and you just throw everything together. Not a lot of positive news in the market trade on Thursday that caused us to go lower. Some of our final numbers: September corn down 16.5, 575 at three quarters. December corn closing 16.5 lower at 573.5 on Thursday. August soybeans down 30.5, 1418.5. November beans down 30.75, 1301.5. August bean meal down 210 a ton, 434.40. August soybean oil down 143 points at 58.60 on Thursday. In wheat, September Chicago wheat down 13.25, 806.25. December down 13.5, 821.75. September Kansas City wheat down 9.25, 861.25. KC wheat for December down 10 at 867.75. Spring wheat September down 11.75 at 912.5. December spring wheat down 12.25, 923 on Thursday. September oats down 473.5. Canola down 2390 at 793.30. So some pretty big losses in the canola markets as well. Over in the livestock trade, we had fairly mixed action there throughout the day. August hogs continuing their tear up 142, 116.30. The rest of the market lower. October hogs down 25, 95.77. December hogs down 62, 86.22. Feeder cattle August 45 higher, 178.27. September feeders up 32, 181.30. October feeders up 47, 184.22. And live cattle August down 2, 135.72. October down 35, 140.97. December live cattle down 50, 146.32. Over in the softs, cotton, looking at that market, which has been hit pretty hard here as of late. Looking at the final number there, we saw that down 78 cents, 99.60. As well as the financial markets, looking at things there, been pretty quiet on Thursday. The Dow Jones up 8 points at last check, NASDAQ up 142, S&P up 23. And the U.S. dollar index down 17 at 106.77. Crude oil down 3.49 a barrel, 96.39. Again, that's a look at some of the closing numbers on the day today as we saw that late market sell-off in grains. Now, earlier here in the session, I talked with Mark Lucas of StoneX in for Arlen Suderman. And keep in mind, this was before the market started selling off. But Mark did provide some thoughts as to what we were seeing. And, you know, before we got this news on the Ukrainian grain deal, we were talking about the weather forecast and how that seems to be top of mind in the markets right now. Here is comments with Mark Lucas of StoneX.
They certainly are. And, you know, going home yesterday afternoon, you know, looking at some of the forecasts that came out around 12 or 1 o'clock yesterday, you know, looked pretty bullish and looked, you know, hot and dry that this is going to continue and into August and so forth. And by evening, some of those forecasts had flip-flopped and the 6 to 10 was a little cooler, a little wetter, that kind of thing. And, you know, it's like I said, told somebody this morning, you tell me what you want for a weather forecast, I can find you one that says that. So, you know, obviously with this extreme heat, you know, if we do not get a break in it, it's going to be a, you know, market driver to the upside at some point. But for this week, you know, I think people really had their opinion on the market direction colored by the fact that the crop conditions held in so well last week. You know, and that's what we've kind of been trading all week here. And a forecast for pretty much everybody.
And I know as well, real quick, weekly export sales this morning, again, really not much to write home about. Wheat looked pretty good again, but overall everything was just kind of missed. So nothing there to really move the trade one way or another, Mark.
Right. Yeah, the wheat number was well above the last 10-week average. We had about 18.8 million bushels on export sales, kind of in the middle of the range of the estimates for a week, but that is a nice solid number. The 10-week average is only about 11 million bushels. And on the bean side of things, that was a decent number, 7.5 million bushels. A 10-week average is around 4. So a decent week on the bean side of things. Corn, nothing to brag about there. That was kind of mid-range of estimates and fairly low, but decent numbers on the beans and wheat here this morning, but yet not enough to get anyone excited and turn turn the trade and let people forget about weather.
And again, that's Mark Lucas of StoneX in for Arlen Suderman, talking with him before the grain market started to sell off today, about an hour before the market started to sell off. Again, that news, according to an Associated Press report, Turkey says the deal on the UN plan for exporting Ukrainian grain amid the war between Russia and Ukraine, that deal will be signed tomorrow in Istanbul. And that seems to be one of the big reasons why the grain market sold off late here on the day today. Coming up, we're going to talk more about this news and the markets in general with Brian Doherty, Senior Market Advisor at Total Farm Marketing. He is going to join us coming up here in segment 3 and 4 on the show today to provide his thoughts and insight. Coming up here in the next segment, though, we're going to have a conversation about the beef markets with Lance Zimmerman. You might know the name, formerly with Cattle Facts. He's now with Robo Research North America with Rabobank. And he is their new senior beef analyst, and I'm looking forward to catching up with Lance. It's been a little while, but looking to get his insight into the cattle market, into beef demand. We got this cattle on feed report, cattle inventory report coming up tomorrow afternoon. We're going to get his thoughts on that as well. So stick around, folks. A lot more to come on this edition of Market Talk. Brian Doherty coming up a little later. Up next, Lance Zimmerman of Robo Research North America. Back with more Market Talk right after this.
The market news and analysis you need here on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And joining us today, he is the senior beef analyst at Robo Research North America. Lance Zimmerman is with us. Lance, great to talk with you again, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for the invite, Jesse. Happy to be on Market Talk.
Well, Lance, we appreciate the time. Congratulations on the new position as well, coming over from Cattle Facts to Robo Research North America. And, of course, years of experience with you. And congratulations again. I know you're going to hit the ground running here with Robo. Let's talk the beef industry. Let's talk the cattle market. I think overall there's a lot of things to consider. We have inflation, of course, in the markets. We are watching, you know, what's feedlot country looking like? What's our supply looking like out there? I know top of mind, cattle on feed report, cattle inventory report coming up on Friday. As you kind of look at that report here ahead of things, what are you anticipating? Will we see any surprising numbers possibly with those reports coming up here on Friday?
Yeah, you know, one of the things I love, Jesse, you mentioned surprising, even at Cattle Facts in my time there, I'd love hearing people call me on the phone and say, okay, what surprises should we expect in the report? And I would joke with them and say, well, by their very nature, if I knew what the surprise was, it wouldn't be surprising me, right? It's like when you know your surprise birthday party. But as I kind of say that in jest, I think the biggest thing is we all expect supplies to eventually tighten up. And I was having a discussion with somebody the other day, and they said, it's really interesting. You know, you've not changed positions. You've been known as somebody, you find a role in a good company, you tend to stay there a while. You started at Cattle Facts 12 years ago. That was 2011. And we were just on the front end of a major drought that then carried us through 11, 12, 13. It took us until kind of late 13, early 14 to kind of flip the cow herd the other direction. The sentiments that existed through that early tenure at Cattle Facts to where they are as I start this new position at Rabo are very similar. You have guys sitting here staring at each monthly cattle on feed report every Friday afternoon that comes out each month and sitting there saying, when are we going to run out of cattle, right? We've been in 3 years now, a cow herd liquidation from the 19 highs. Everybody's just sitting there wondering, when are we going to realize that? And I think my message to your listeners is it's probably going to be in these next several reports. I think this cattle on feed report, the ones that continue through this summer, the cattle inventory report, you're really going to start to realize, okay, this is getting some legs under it. In other words, we had that supply so backed up from the feedlot all the way back down to the cow-calf producer after the pandemic that it took us really until last winter to kind of get back to normal. And then after that, we had such a good cattle feeding winter. Plus, we had all those drought placements that started hitting us last year that we've had adequate feedlot supplies, adequate fed slaughter, and then all this additional cow liquidation happening over the last 12 months. So we've not really been in want of supplies. We're going to start to see that trickle into feed yards this summer. That's going to start to realize itself on beef production and fed cattle slaughter as we get to the later parts of this year. And then cow slaughter, it's at a record pace. You know, we kind of talk about a word called culling rate, and how we come up with that number is we look at the annual slaughter, beef cow slaughter number, and we compare that as a percentage to the January 1 inventory. Basically, how many cows did we slaughter from our January 1 inventory? We're on pace for that number to be 13.5%. To put that in scope, you kind of got to get that number down around 10% or below to be an expansion category. So we're 3.5 points off of that. But even that said, the previous record high on an annual basis was 12.5%. We hit that twice in the last 50 plus years. Mm-hmm. We're going to crush it by a full percentage point this year. So we're going to start to realize cow slaughter. It's still going to be a big number, but it's going to slow from the pace we've been on here lately too.
Well, and I think, Lance, you know, a lot of analysts I'm talking to lately, it sounds like you might be in the same camp as we hopefully, presumably, tighten up cattle supplies. You know, a lot of folks are friendly the cattle market as we move into the fourth quarter. I mean, we're seeing, you know, feeders around that 180 range, live, you know, fats are anywhere from mid 130s to even up around 150. It feels like there's a lot of folks who are friendly and think that there is some upside potential in both those markets here as we get into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's what's wild. I think, you know, all of us need to have on our radar screen that there's a heightened risk of some demand erosion due to recession risk, inflation pressures, consumer spending pullbacks in general, even though we haven't seen them on a historically significant level today. The year-over-year reductions have been pretty significant from a demand standpoint. But again, if we think back to last year, a lot of the food service segment was still reopening from COVID shutdowns. And so restaurant demand was really propping up the beef market. Retail was strong in competing with food service a year ago. Exports were strong. There's a reason demand was at a 30-year high last year. And so as we think about this year, it's certainly been a significant pullback from all the positive headwinds of last year. But even if we have a demand pullback, and not just from where we are today, but we have a significant pullback again next year due to demand erosion and recession risk, the supply correction that we're about to see will still allow prices to trend upward. Maybe it's not explosive, but it's still going to be very significant. So you talked about the feeder market. We're still going to put in our seasonal highs probably around Labor Day, but we're probably not going to see as big of an aggressive break on the backside of those highs. Calf market, we typically go into fall lows. We're going through some pretty significant price appreciation now. If the summer video sales are any indication, that feeder market's going to hold itself a bit better, hold itself together a bit better through this fall run than maybe what we think. And then likewise, cull cow market, fed cattle market, all those numbers are going to be very well supported from a price standpoint with those tighter supplies as well. So demand has some room. It can still work a little bit lower, still be historically average to above average. But with the supply pullback we're going to see, we're going to still see a very healthy market would be my expectation.
And I think as well, talking demand, we look at consumer demand. Obviously, inflation's played a big role in everything here the last few months. We've seen more consumers maybe go for cheaper cuts of beef at the grocery store. But on top of that, we think export demand as well. That's another factor that has remained fairly strong. And I think China, I saw some numbers here earlier this week, this China beef demand has really kind of almost exploded here in recent months, Lance.
Yeah. I mean, China still, it's funny. You have that type of population base, any type of increase becomes on the back end a huge number, right? And China was huge for us last year as we navigated through the spring and summer, even into the late early parts of fall. They were importing briskets. They were importing fed trim. They were importing your kind of traditional chuck cuts. And then obviously all of the variety meat type items. They kind of were a little sleepy through the winter here. I think once they got their buy lined up for the Beijing Olympics, then they hit some COVID issues. Obviously their Chinese New Year, things kind of slow down, but they've been picking up again as we've gotten the data for spring and early summer. And so as we look at where we've really seen our export growth for this year to date, it's been China, it's been South Korea. Those are still two very strong markets in terms of their growth markets. They're not mature. The U.S. market, our domestic consumer, that's a mature market. We can still make gains there, but we got to temper our enthusiasm because they're going to be incremental. Same thing with Japan. Obviously, it was a huge market for us through the early 2000s and even coming out of the latest recession. But again, it's more of a mature market now. And so when you look at where our big export growth has come this year, it's China, it's South Korea. And then actually, it's those countries that collectively are all outside of the top 10, very small markets compared to the top 10 markets. But collectively, they've been carrying a lot of water. And so as we look going forward, I think 2, 3, 5 years ahead, the thing that excites me the most about growth potential in the U.S. cattle industry is what we can do to become a more global customer, a more global supplier. That's what the pork industry's done. That's what the poultry industry's done. And certainly it comes with its fair share of heartburn and headaches as you navigate through the multiple political layers and logistical layers that exist there. But those are where the growth opportunities lie. And we got U.S. beef demand on a solid trajectory. Getting some more growth going forward to fuel that next expansion out of the global markets is going to be key.
Well, fantastic thoughts, Lance. Before we run out of time, real quick, anything else we haven't touched on today?
No, I appreciate talking to you. Always have a great time on your program. And we need to do this again.
We definitely do need to do this again, and we will make this happen again here very soon. But I appreciate the time as well with that. Senior Beef Analyst at Robo Research North America, Lance Zimmerman, thanks for joining us here today, and have a great week.
Hey, thanks to you. Same to you, and thanks to all your listeners. Appreciate y'all.
And again, that is Lance Zimmerman, formerly of Cattle Facts, now with Robo Research North America. Congratulations again to him on the new role, and look forward to catching up with him more down the road as well. All right, coming up, we're going to take a look at today's market trade activity. Brian Doherty, Senior Market Advisor at Total Farm Marketing, he joins us on the way after the break. Back with more market talk right after this.
Oh, When it comes to protecting your investment in fuel and diesel-powered equipment, Diesel X Gold from FS clearly beats other diesel fuels. New detergents disperse contaminants to prevent sludge that plugs filters and causes unexpected downtime. And now, better moisture handling chemistry helps ensure your fuel stays dry, reducing microbial growth and fuel line freeze-ups. So when you're deciding what fuel to use, choose Diesel X Gold, absolutely the best fuel to power and protect your diesel equipment. Contact your local FS Energy specialist today or visit GoFurtherWithFS.com.
Market information that matters to you on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And joining us now to take a look at the market trade here on this Thursday, let's say good afternoon to Brian Doherty of Total Farm Marketing. He joins us here on the program. Brian, great to have you back on, sir. Hope you're having a good week. How are you?
Not too bad, Jess. Thank you. I hope you're having a good week as well.
Definitely am. Yeah, it's, I thought looking at things here throughout much of the day, we were going to have a fairly quiet discussion today. But Brian, late in the session here, we've seen a pretty robust sell-off in grains, corn, soybeans, wheat, you name it. Getting the breaking news here about this UN broker, Turkey broker deal to get grains out of the Ukraine. Sounds like it's going to be signed tomorrow officially. So I'm wondering if that was the big catalyst here in this late session sell-off today.
You know, it probably was. And you're dealing with some markets right now that just can't find positive news anywhere. Export sales were out this morning, dismal again. The implication simply is that supply might be on the grow, and it's on the grow from lack of demand. So we'll see if the USDA in August makes any adjustments, but this is 4 weeks in a row with clunker numbers for corn. I kind of get it. End users, as they see the market maybe drifting lower or dropping, will just step back and let it go until they jump in and buy. I'm hopeful that this signing is sell the rumor and buy the fact, because, boy, it seems like since this has been talked about, the markets have done nothing but dive, in particular wheat, on this talk. And we've taken all of the war premium out. We've taken all of the weather premium out. We're past halfway done with harvest and wheat. You kind of hope at some point here we start putting on the skids. And you can argue wheat's consolidating this week, but it doesn't have any strength to it.
Well, and I wonder as well, how much of this is maybe some of those algo computers trading these headlines? Because to me, I look at this situation and go, okay, we signed a deal. How long is it going to take to demine ports? Is anyone going to insure these ships carrying this grain? I mean, to me, I think those are all valid questions that have to be answered before, we'd see any grain come out of the Ukraine. So to me, this feels like a computer-driven kind of read the headline on, some website, and that feeds into the computer and it moves us lower, Brian.
I think you have some point to that too, and you probably got that same sort of reaction on the overnight trade as well due to the 6 to 10 day forecast, putting some more moisture in for the central Midwest. So the fund money is either liquidating or adding to shorts. And then we talked about this before, how sometimes you get these additional type of selling or sellers occurring. There may be people who are friendly in the market, they buy, but the market hits their stop order. That means they're triggered. That becomes a sell. Margin calls, things like that. You have these new sell orders, not necessarily bearish, but they accelerate or accentuate the downturn here. It'll be interesting to see what comes out of that part of the world, because you're also seeing some really, from my understanding, some kind of stressful temperatures over in all of Europe as well and into the Ukraine-Russia region. So whether that kind of nipped away at the crop a little bit too. Here at home, we're kind of talking to the haves and have-nots. If you have, you're in really good shape. You've got some moisture lately. You're going to get through pollination. You've got the ideal forecast now with more rain in it and cool down in temperatures. The have-nots, boy, they're really struggling with this heat that's going to be around for a little bit and really exasperated in moisture. But right now, with about two-thirds of the crop rated good to excellent, the market believes that's enough right now. It's good enough.
Well, and I was going to say as well, with the weather, you know, looking at today's updated drought monitor, seeing some of that drought area expand in parts of the Western Corn Belt, I see an area there, Northwest Iowa, Northeast Nebraska, that could be in question here unless they can get a shot of rain. But to your point, the haves and have-nots, Southern Minnesota, parts of, you know, Northeast, Eastern Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, you know, a lot of these major producing corn areas, you know, they're looking pretty good. And the other thing too, later planting for many areas. So, you know, one has to wonder what we're looking at for pollination right now. Are we just getting into that corn pollination? Have we started already in many areas? Where are we at? You know, how much of a delay do we have? But I think overall, like you said, it's the haves and have nots, but that Western Corn Belt really just uptick this week with all that heat and dryness, Brian. And that has me a little concerned still.
And it should, and it'll probably pull corn out of the central Midwest. But the bigger picture, again, you look at it, and this time of year, it'll take weather premium out as long as there's a conducive forecast. There's hardly a day where we've gone over the last month, too, where there isn't some kind of rain developing the radar. Now, maybe not much today, but my theory is if there's rain on the radar, it's just a matter of time before it gets to everybody. Now, it hasn't gotten everybody, but there were lots and lots of dry regions in Illinois and Indiana and Ohio that really got a good development of moisture here. So right now the market is doing what it does. It takes weather premium out. As I mentioned earlier, the export sales continue to remain sort of an Achilles heel, and this market just doesn't have it right now. We've had some rallies each on Sunday night, Monday, and it gives it up very quickly. Tells me more liquidation. Funds have been strongly long. So, you know, we're getting the question, well, how far can this go down? And what I need to kind of remind everybody is that there's momentum when you move downward. And you look at last year's lows on the December corn futures contract is maybe some, well, is that a possibility this year? We're down around $5 on this particular contract, the 22 contract. That now becomes a new target point. And why does it become that? Well, today we have our lowest close since January and going to February. We picked your September, December corn contract. So same thing in soybeans. So you think about it, in soybeans, we've now taken all of the war premium out. We've taken the drought premium out in South America. The market's looking ahead saying, well, exports are slowing and there'll be more crop out of Brazil in the year ahead, assuming normal production. So that's part of the overall sluggishness we have to the marketplace.
Well, and something I've been hearing from some producers as well, watching, and maybe they marketed ahead some new crop already, but maybe they're in a have-not area right now and they're worried about what kind of corn crop they might produce and whether or not they could cover what they've sold if they feel they've oversold themselves. So if I'm in that situation, you know, what are my options? Am I looking at a put here or a way to get out of some of that cash contract and protect myself and protect some of that risk in case I'm worried that I might not have the crop this year?
Well, that's a good question because it's real, first of all. And so we want to address those concerns. So if you're a farmer and you've got things pretty aggressively sold, the market's lower now. So there may be a way to buy out of your contract. You may have to give up something to do that. That would probably be my first approach now if you've sold higher than where the market is. The other thing you can do too is, this isn't really getting out of your obligation, but if you're worried about prices going down, I like still buying the puts. We've talked about that for quite some time now, buying puts in December corn or March. And then I would like to go well above the market and sell a call or a couple of calls in December, 680, 690 calls, and really challenge the market to move higher. That means, you know, to have those calls gain value, we've got to have a turnaround to uptrending market. So this is really for the farmer that's pretty light on sales. And this farmer is willing to maybe even meet some margin call, but of the mindset that, look, if this is what it kind of takes to turn the market around, I'm willing to do this. If the market doesn't turn around, you've got a put bought and you're helping to finance that put. So you're putting a flooring mechanism in. I'm, you know, at $6, I was really stuck between a rock and a hard place. It's still a good price. It's not a great price. $7, $7.50 is a great price. $5.80, yeah, you know, it's $6. It's still worth defending. I still worry that, you know, the mindset looks at this from a different angle and goes, that's still a high price for corn. We know fertilizer was high and all this kind of stuff, but we don't really care because China's on lockdown. They're not buying much corn. We've got room to go. And that's what worries me right now.
And I know as well, looking at cash basis, one is wondering when that might start to take a bit of a dive. It's sounding like, especially on the soy side, a lot of end users have their needs covered right now. So I know that's something that we're watching closely as well, is basis across the Corn Belt here and across the Midwest, Brian.
Right. Basis important. Keep an eye on that. The remember, there's always a two sides of the coin. And so now we're talking about end users out here too that are looking at, I really wasn't expecting I'd see this much of a drop off. Or at least I think that's going to be the reaction when they were looking at things just a month ago that were dramatically higher. So it's time to monitor that too from an end user perspective, feed user perspective, especially soybeans. If you look at the soybean market, it's a little bit late, first of all, in its planting. And second of all, the critical weather is yet ahead. So we've got some rain in the forecast, but it's been hot. If these rains are not, let's call it, blanket coverage, and the heat kind of comes back in, somebody starts talking about a dome of pressure and all of that stuff, there's plenty of time for that to have impact. So if I'm an end user, I'm certainly wanting to look at calls, call options, buying the meal, buying whatever corn, maybe buying puts against it, looking at basis, locking basis if it's attractive. We suspect that corn basis real tight on old crop corn, but that'll probably loosen as we get closer to September as well.
And again, that is Brian Doherty, Senior Market Advisor at Total Farm Marketing, our guest analyst here today on Market Talk. Coming up, we're going to talk livestock markets, take a look at the dairy market as well as we continue our conversation. Back with more right after this as we continue with more Market Talk on the way after the break.
Bringing you the ag information you need. This is Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to Market Talk. Jesse Allen with you here. Brian Doherty with Total Farm Marketing. He is our guest analyst today. We're going to be continuing our conversation with Brian in just a minute. Again, just recapping today's trade action. A rough day at the close here. Late selling in grains. Double-digit losses in corn, soybeans, and in wheat futures. And cattle and hogs were mostly mixed on the day. Feeder cattle took advantage late of the break in corn. But overall, just a pretty risk-off trade. Day. September corn 16.5 lower, 575 and three quarters. December corn down 16.5, 573 and a half. August beans 30.5 lower, 1418 and a half. November down 30 and three quarters, 1301 and a half. Bean meal August down 210 a ton, 434.40. August bean oil down 143 points, 58.60. September Chicago wheat 13 and a quarter lower, 806 and a quarter. September KC wheat down 9 and a quarter, 861 and a quarter. Spring wheat September down 11 and three quarters, 912 and a half. Lean hogs August up 142, 116.30. Good strength remaining there. October hogs down 25, 95.77. Feeder cattle August up 45, 178.27. September up 32, 181.30. Handed live cattle August down to 135.72, and October live cattle down 35, 140.97. Crude oil down 358 a barrel at last look, 96.30. The Dow Jones down 19 points. Again, announcement on that deal, the UN grain plan to get grain out of Ukraine being signed tomorrow between all the parties involved, Turkey, UN, Russia, Ukraine. That seemed to be the catalyst for moving the market sharply lower into the close. Let's get back to our conversation with Brian Doherty, Senior Market Advisor at Total Farm Marketing. Brian, let's switch gears and talk livestock. This cattle market feels like it's in consolidation mode ahead of Friday afternoon's cattle on feed and biannual cattle inventory report. Would you agree with that? It just feels like a kind of a consolidation day today.
It does, and it feels like a market that wants to go higher, but it just has all these sort of strings with weights on it pulling it down, whether it's inflation, whether it's just high energy, all these things that kind of keep holding it back. I think you want to be overall friendly to the market. The numbers that we're looking at there, again, should confirm lower cow herd, drought conditions out west, impactful over the last several years, in particular with high corn prices right behind it this past year. So the cattle market, I think, is well supported from the supply side. We've talked about that a lot. And actually, we saw some good evidence of that, I think, in the feeder market. So as corn prices tip over, feeder prices go higher. Goes back to that language last fall when we were talking to some of the guys that were looking for feeders last fall and early winter, just tough to come by. So I think that's what we're going to find out in big picture perspective out of the inventory as well as cattle on feed reports.
How about hogs? August hogs, again, very strong today. Cash has been on fire this week. What do you make of this hog market, Brian?
I think it comes to the cost of cattle a little bit. I think the hog found some good support in the retail sector is what I think. We've gotten good cash prices, good bids, good product movement. Somewhat surprising because people might look at this and go, well, you know, China's on lockdown. Well, they're not really importing pork anyways, not to the degree that they were 2 years ago. So when we look at the pork consumption, it's really domestic driven here. And I think it was just the value in the store. And we found out that the market is in an upswing on demand, and we're getting good price activity there. But remember, all hogs and pigs showed every category down 1%. So high prices do cure high prices in the sense that grain got high. Part of that cure to the grain moving down is just less. Well, we're going to find out we just have a smaller herd, both in cattle and hogs. But yeah, you got to like that front month cash month. It sure makes it look like that, like the October contract trading a solid $20 behind August, and the index has got some room to work higher as well.
Yeah, I think we'll be watching that very closely here the next couple of weeks ahead to see if it can work its way higher as well. Brian, dairy market this week, looking today, fairly mixed action, I guess I would call it. What are you seeing there? Anything stand out in dairy?
I call it mainly lower again. What stands out is it's in a pretty steep downtrend. Doesn't matter if you take a wheat chart, dairy chart, corn chart, you can lay them all over each other. They almost are identical. But, you know, again, just goes to show, you know, when you're at high price levels, when things do tip over, they can kind of tip over nonstop. And I think the dairy market, once again, might have fooled producers in that we saw the rally peak in April, drop off some in May, and then came roaring back into mid-May, testing that $25 area. And then all of a sudden, you give up $5 real quick. Still good prices. We don't see the expansion out there, but with corn prices coming down and feed availability, there is going to be that sort of that perception, at least, that the herd will be on the rise. I'm not sure the $20 milk and $100 crude oil cut it, though. The energy side and then the labor side is still prohibitively disruptive, I'm going to use that word, in the dairy expansion.
Brian, great stuff as always. Any final thoughts for us here real quick before we run out of time?
I guess this isn't the browbeat or anything like that, but just, you know, recognize that when trends start to go one direction, they can overdo it. So we're probably still looking at downside weakness in the grains right now. The bears are going to be flexing their muscle. They're fully in charge right now. They've got the weather forecast they need. So still looks like some downside weakness. So if there's any strategy ideas anybody would like to talk about, they're welcome to give us a call, and we can walk them through that if they like.
And if folks want to give you guys a call, what's the best way to do that, Brian?
Just pick up the phone and or flip it open or whatever you got. Swipe it. 800-334-9779.
And I know you can find them as well online, totalfarmmarketing.com. With that, Brian Doherty with Total Farm Marketing. Always a pleasure, sir. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Jesse, thank you. Best of luck.
And again, that is Brian Doherty, Senior Market Advisor at Total Farm Marketing, joining us here today on Market Talk. And always appreciate Brian's insights and thank him for joining us once again here today. That is going to do it for Market Talk on Thursday's show. Coming up for Friday's show, we're going to be having a conversation with Chad Hart, economist at Iowa State University. Look forward to that. Always great to catch up with Chad. Also going to be talking to Josh Linville, Vice President of Fertilizer at StoneX on tomorrow's show. A lot of news in the fertilizer market here this past week. We're going to get caught up on that as well coming up on tomorrow's Market Talk. That's going to do it for the show. Have a fantastic rest of your day. I'm Jesse Allen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
When it comes to protecting your investment in fuel and diesel-powered equipment, Dieselex Gold from FS clearly beats other diesel fuels. New detergents disperse contaminants to prevent sludge that plugs filters and causes unexpected downtime. And now, better moisture handling chemistry helps ensure your fuel stays dry, reducing microbial growth and fuel line freeze-ups. So when you're deciding what fuel to use, choose Dieselex Gold, absolutely the best fuel to power and protect your diesel equipment. Contact your local FS Energy specialist today or visit GoFurtherWithFS.com.